Welcome to Crappy Friends.
That's so mean. I can't even tell you. That is podcast so wrong and mean.
Discusses female friendship, good, the bad, the ugly. Girl power, defeating bitchery since 2018. New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins, and I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day, and we're best friends.
So mean. I can't even. And you did it on purpose. I know you did.
Okay. So it's a gray, rainy day, and spirits are down. It seems like, you know, COVID is spiking again, and the days are shorter, and you know, Ukraine and voting rights and all this, you know. And then we get this heartbreaking letter.
Yes, I think you should prepare yourselves, listeners. Like, sit down. If you're driving, maybe pause, because it's really, like, I cried. It was sad.
I know. It was very sad. Do you want to give it a try, Joss, or shall I?
Sure. I will read it.
Atta girl. You got this.
Dear ladies, I have a problem I've never heard you discuss on your podcast. It concerns a dead friend. A little backstory. For many years, I've been friends with two sisters, Patricia and Sharon, not their real names. Patricia and I were classmates and were best friends from an early age. Sharon was the older sister. Sharon was a little too old and cool to hang out with us. Always nice, but it was clear that we were too young for her to be really interested in. Normal stuff, nothing mean. Fast forward to our 20s and 30s, Patricia and I stayed close all through high school and beyond, and we both studied the same stuff in college and moved back to our hometown outside of New York City. About 8 or 9 years later, Sharon also moved back to our hometown after living in the city for a while and then just admitting it was too expensive and she was never going to have much money if she stayed. She was a school teacher. Once she lived closer, we gradually became more friendly because you know how it is. 5 years is not a big deal once you're older. So the three of us would do a lot together. Sometimes it would be Patricia and I, but most of the times it was the three of us, and that was fine. The two of them were my closest friends, especially Patricia. I had work friends, but nobody liked them. I like to think that Patricia and I had that little look between us because Sharon hadn't always been there. Just a few stories and experiences that were meaningful to us too, but which Sharon didn't know about or understand the joke, if you know what I mean. She never resented it and would be gracious about letting us have our jokes. On the flip side, with them being sisters, I was left out of family inside jokes and holidays, you know, the usual. Patricia and I worked in the same field, but in different roles, which I will discuss soon. And that also gave us another thing in common that we would talk about. What never happened was that Sharon and I became friends outside of the three of us. For example, I never would call Sharon just to talk or ask her to go out to breakfast without Patricia. Even though the three of us were friends, it didn't really translate to me and Sharon. We were all happy, and the three of us, or me and Patricia and Sharon and Patricia, Patricia was the uniting person in our triangle. And unlike so many of your callers, we really got along with no spats or breakups or fights. Sure, we didn't always agree on everything, but we agreed on the big things. Because they were sisters, Patricia never gossiped about Sharon, but she would occasionally mention if she was irritated with her. Nothing mean, though. Patricia and I both got our degrees in fashion design. Me at a top fashion school in NYC. Patricia in a less known place. Over the years, I became a designer for a huge design brand. It was very consuming. Lots of pressure, crying, yelling, panic attacks, backstabbing. During my 30s, I got married and divorced because honestly, the job took everything. I had a small apartment in the city and also my house in my hometown. I didn't have kids, but loved Patricia and Sharon's kids, kind of like an aunt. I finally became a creative director for the company. I had never worked for another company and was able to retire 4 years ago at a pretty young age. Patricia, meanwhile, was also in fashion as a product developer, behind the scenes job, a very important job, and definitely more steady and manageable than that of a designer. We both worked in New York and sometimes trained in took the train in together. She had two kids and her job was better suited to family life than being under the pressure of the creative end of the biz. Patricia never seemed to mind the differences in our careers, even though we both had once wanted what I ended up having, you know, the Project Runway dream. Patricia was that friend who could be really happy for me without comparison. I was sometimes envious of her career too, because it was calmer and she had set work hours and a family, which I never got around to having. She would ask me for work advice from time to time and vice versa. So here's where it gets sad. Patricia was diagnosed 2 years ago with cancer and she only lasted 1 year and 4 months. It was bad and fast. I would say that during that time, Sharon and I were equals in helping out, being there for Patricia. But of course, I was not losing a sister, even though it felt that way. I tried to be respectful of that and not shove myself into family meetings and stuff. But everyone knew this was going to be a horrible loss for me as her lifelong best friend. She died in March of this year. The whole town was devastated. And I have felt lost and I'm still in shock, wondering how I'm supposed to get through the rest of my life without the person who was most important to me. Back to her cancer. She hadn't been feeling well for a while. And although she hurt her back and She hadn't been feeling well for a while and thought she'd hurt her back. It was stage 4 aggressive cancer with shit prognosis. It was devastating. We all said the words of "you're a fighter and we're in this with you." But the truth is we were all terrified because we knew it was coming. Sharon and I became closer in our grief, taking care of Patricia almost daily with her now grown kids and husband. We did all the dirty work, got trained by nurses, gave her medication, cleaned her, sat with her. When she finally died, it was a relief to have her out of pain, but also the end of life as we all knew it. Since then, Sharon, who is also divorced, and I have been really there for each other. Well, Sharon has taken to drinking and smoking weed in her grief to excess. I mean, you do what you have to get through the day, and it's still so fresh and raw. She doesn't drive under the influence and usually only starts late in the day. The thing is, it's hard to talk to her when she's stoned and or drunk. Most days, I call her or she calls me. I try to call her earlier in the day when she's sober. When she calls me, she's already affected. She can carry on a conversation and be honest about emotions, but she tends to ramble. I tolerate it, but it can feel irritating because I'm grieving too. And when she's stoned slash drunk, she focuses on herself and seems to forget that I have lost the most important person in my life. I mean, Sharon at least has kids. I'm an only child with aging parents, and Patricia was by far my person. But I'm trying to be supportive. When Sharon is sober, she is not this way. And she knows she needs to stop self-medicating and is seeing a therapist. Hopefully she can get a grip and clean up her act. However, 2 nights ago, we were talking on the phone and talking about how fast and witty Patricia was and how many people adored her and how she was so insightful and honest. Then Sharon said something like, "She told it like it was. Like, once I asked her about your job, you know, what did she think of your clothes? And she said, honestly, they're boring and unoriginal. You know her. She was incapable of not telling the truth." I said, "What? Wait, she said that about me?" And Sharon goes, "Yeah, that's just her, right? Telling it like it was." Then she started talking about someone else and her conversation just wandered off into the weeds. I was in shock. I wanted to ask her to shut up and clarify, but she was in no state to be clear about anything. I didn't know what to say, but my brain was like, "Wait, what?" But I just kept listening to Sharon as if my whole world hadn't fallen to pieces. Obviously, she was too stoned to understand that she just gutted me. The worst part is I don't have any reason to think Sharon was lying either. Sharon was not saying this like she wanted to hurt me. It was just an example of telling it like it is. Besides, she's too unorganized and spontaneous. I don't think she planned on saying it. I know Sharon cares for me, and we've been there for each other since Patricia died. I'm afraid to ask her when she's sober if what she said was true, because what if it is? I think if I asked her about Patricia's statement, she would be mortified that she let this slip. I seriously cannot believe that Patricia didn't say this, because why would Sharon make that up? After all, we've been through decades of wonderful friendship between the three of us. Why would Patricia lie to her sister? If I ask anyone if what Sharon said was true, they will either confirm what Sharon said, or maybe they'd lie to protect my feelings, or they'd be angry at Sharon for hurting me. And Sharon is truly suffering with the loss of her sister. Besides, I can't exactly go, hey, did Patricia trash talk my designs when she was alive without sounding shallow and conceited? Patricia had many friends, but I didn't know if she would have talked about me this way to anyone but Sharon. Also, how can I look back at my lifelong friendship with Patricia knowing she didn't respect my work, my life's work? I gave up a lot to have that career. I never once felt like she was jealous and seriously don't think she was. So this seems to be the truth. She thought I was boring and unoriginal. She was so important to me. And this is now going to color my whole view of her history. I'm 61 now. She's been my best friend since we were seven. In addition to all my grief and empty space where she was now I have to wrangle with this and I just don't know how to. I'm so upset, Kristen and Joss. I could not sleep since Sharon babbled. And while Sharon and I have been so there for each other, she's the last person I want to talk to. All I've been doing is crying and feeling completely lost. Please help me, ladies. I'm desperate. Sincerely, crushed. Crushed.
Oof.
Crushed.
That is definitely one of the hardest letters we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I also cried when we got it. I just... Mm-hmm. I really felt her pain and mm-hmm. her loss even before we get into the stuff about her career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what she's lost is the most important person in her life. And at 61, she's probably not going to replace her.
Right, right.
So what I want to say to you, Crushed, first is we are so sorry for your loss. And it's massive. And you will never be over it. And it's going to take time just to process it. You're still in early days.
Yes.
So whatever you are deciding and feeling now, it's not necessarily going to be the same a few months from now, a few years from now. You'll always miss her.
Yes.
It's not going to always be this raw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that letter, nothing you said tells us that Patricia was anything but a superb friend.
Right.
You know, she never acted jealous. She never complained. She was never anything but like 100% your cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that respect, I think her actions have to speak louder than that one sentence to Sharon.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, I think it is possible that she said it to Sharon. And it's possible she didn't like your work. Make sure that you separate. If she thought your work was boring and unoriginal, she didn't think you were boring and unoriginal.
That's correct.
But the thing that I love about her is that she never said a word to you. Throughout your whole amazing career, she never criticized you, right? She respected you. Too much to do that. So it's kind of like if she had built her dream home, right? And she invited you over to see it. And she had poured her life savings into building this house and the paintings and the furniture and you know, I don't know, let's say it's like a Victorian or something. And it's everything for her. And you hate it. It's mm-hmm. the opposite of your style. You like mid-century modern with tons of sunlight. And you think her house is cramped and dark and fussy. So what are you going to say? Oh, sorry, Patricia. I hate it. You know,
no.
It does nothing for me. So you would pretend that you love it because she loves it.
Right.
And so you'd never breathe a word about it, except for maybe one time when you said something to a mutual friend, never expecting that the friend would share it because the friend loves her too.
Right. Right. I agree with all of that. I also think that it might not be your entire life's work that she found boring and original. It might be one thing. She might have felt that one time and it might have passed. Like Kristen says, it's not about you. And I do think you are conflating your work with who you are and your self-worth.
Yeah.
And you are not your work. you are much more than your work, which is evidenced by Patricia being your best friend for all these years, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's 53 years of friendship.
Come on, that counts for a whole lot, right? So I think be careful of that. Your self-worth is sort of wrapped up in your work, and you're sort of conflating how your friend felt about her, how your friend felt about you versus how she felt about your work. And you are not just your work, right? So be careful about that.
Joss, I think that's a great point. Like, maybe it was a collection that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it was one outfit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a possibility that somewhere in Patricia's soul, she was a little jealous.
Could be.
You did have the Project Runway dream. And, you know, maybe even while she knew her career path was better for her and her family and her priorities, that even so, maybe there was a tiny little bit of her that, you know, felt left behind. But the important thing is, she never stooped to telling you that.
She never did. And she was your cheerleader the whole time, right? Yeah. So, which is really important.
Yeah. And then the other thing I thought, Joss, was that somewhere in a corner of her soul, Sharon, the sister, is jealous of the bond you had with Patricia.
That's also possible. Yes.
You know, and that there was, you know, alcohol and weed loosen the tongue, and you might say something that you would not have said sober. Or you might extrapolate on what you thought. But I think you have one sentence against 53 years of unwavering friendship.
Yeah.
And if you repeat those words to yourself, boring and unoriginal, over and over, they're going to lose their power. You know, what you know crushed. You were successful in a hugely competitive field.
Yes.
You rose to the top. You knew what you were doing, or else you wouldn't have had, you're a creative director for a huge design house.
Right.
I'd love to know which one. Just saying.
Me too. Never
mind. Can you get us any clothes?
Me too. Oh my God.
But you know what you have accomplished as a woman in your field. And so, you know, Patricia was wrong. You know, you might hate Victorian households, but millions of people love them.
Yeah.
So you were extremely successful. And if there was something about, you know, your look that she didn't think was edgy enough or whatever, she never told you that because she respected and loved you too much.
Right, right. I want you to also think, like, does knowing she might have thought this make you believe that she loved you any less?
Ugh.
I don't think she did. I think she loved you the same throughout, despite what she might have thought. So you have to keep that in mind. Also, I wanted to bring up, I mean, I understand Sharon sort of self-medicating, and I understand this is a blow and it's still really raw, but this might be a good opportunity to talk to her about getting help for that kind of abuse. She's seeing a therapist, but maybe she's not telling the therapist that this is what she does every night in the evening.
Right.
Is self-medicate this way.
Right. And you know, we always talk about setting boundaries with friends. It's absolutely okay for you to say, you know, Sharon, I love you. I need your friendship, but I can't talk to you when you're impaired.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm glad you're aware that you're over-medicating or self-medicating, but I can't be a part of these rambling conversations. I'm grieving too. When I talk to you when you're like that, it doesn't help me. So let's talk in the mornings or on nights when you haven't been drinking or smoking.
Right.
And
right.
That way, you know, you speak up for yourself. And you don't let Sharon's grief be another negative thing that you have to deal with. Because you have to deal with the loss of your person. This is a tremendous blow.
It really is.
And
And, you know, I think when you're grieving, it's often easier to focus on something smaller when you have this massive loss in front of you. And it's easier to be angry or hurt than deal with this yawning grief of your friend. So it's easy to take that conversation with Sharon and use it as a target for your emotions so that you can avoid the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, it of course it matters what Patricia thought, but that one sentence should not rewrite the incredible relationship that you had.
I agree. That you said that very well, Kristen. I also think crushed, this is a major loss. Have you talked to someone about this? Therapist, counselor, clergyman, somebody like that. Yeah. I mean, I haven't had a major loss like that yet. My parents are elderly, so we know it's coming, but that's something that I think you should navigate with a professional to help you. I mean, Sharon is seeing a therapist. You could too.
And also support groups.
Yeah.
You know, I just became a hospice volunteer. And one of the things that I love about the program is that they are there not just for the patient, but for the family and friends. And once the loss comes, as you know, it's coming when you have a patient on hospice, there are support groups and bereavement counselors, and you can tap into that just because you're not blood related.
Right.
You know, you did lose a sister. And maybe the biological sister isn't the best person for you to be leaning on right now. It sounds like she's staggering. And I also feel, you know, having suffered a couple of big losses myself this year, some of us have a tendency to try to carry the grieving along with us. And then it sublimates our own grief and our ability to express that. And that's not healthy. Either, you know, when you think like, okay, I'll be here, I'll step up, I'll check in with this person, I'll make sure, you know, he or she feels included and loved and not forgotten. But meanwhile, you know, you can be really scraping yourself raw and empty and deflated. And given the beautiful friendship and love that you have lost in Patricia, don't do that.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. See a therapist, seek out a support group, set those boundaries with Sharon. And, you know, if there are other friends in your life, if anyone says like, gosh, you know, I know you guys were so close. Is there anything I can do? Say, you know, I would love it if you came over with some banana bread.
Yeah.
Just talk for a while about something other than, or I want to talk about Patricia, or I don't want to talk about Patricia. I want to hear about your job or your vacation or your grandchild. because, you know, it is sort of a gaping maw.
It really is. And you know, Kristen mentioned volunteering. Why don't you think about volunteering? It really takes the focus off of yourself. And it feels really good to help people. It's such a bomb. It's very weird the way it works.
It is. And it, so. I mean, one of the things that I was learning during my hospice training is what every volunteer says is, I thought I would be doing something good for other people, but in fact, I am the one who has benefited.
Yes.
And, you know, it might be too soon to, you know, do something related to loss, but, you know, it could be a clothing drive at your church or, you know, a canned foods drive, or it could be, you know, you decide, hey, I'm 61 and I'm going to get my master's in social work and become a therapist. You know, despite this crushing loss, you are someone who has a lot of opportunities. You know, you've been so successful. You're retired. I imagine you have a certain amount of financial security. Enjoy it. Patricia would want you to enjoy it.
I agree.
Explore and expand and travel. And, you know, as I said, you'll never get over losing her.
Right.
But it will become easier to carry. It will become a more matter of fact part of your life. And then some days it will rear its ugly head and you'll be crying on the bathroom floor thinking, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
You know, grief is not a straight line.
No.
So I hope we've made you feel a little bit better. It sounds like you have one of the friendships of the ages.
Mm-hmm.
And how lucky you and Patricia were to have had each other.
Yeah.
So focus on that and take good care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.